Well, let me share a few thoughts with you this morning. You know, Jeff always sends me what he wants me to preach on. And I look at it and I think, what planet is Jeff on? You know? And he sends it to me and he says, peace be... So this is the peace he wants me to preach on. Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. So I went to one of the ministers that we got in our church who's retired, and I said to him, I've been asked to preach on this. What would you say? He said, I haven't got a clue. I haven't got an idea. I thought, well, yeah, absolutely. So I thought to myself, the best thing is when somebody asks you to do something, try to get into their mind, isn't it? So I tried to get into Jeff's mind, and I got past two brain cells, and then I thought, let's come out of here. So I had a good look at it again, and I'm just changing the title a little bit, and you see, but it will all work out, I promise you. And my title's going to be, Come and See, Go and Tell. Okay? It's the same. Yeah. Come and see, go and tell. Now, this morning, we've got to visit that precious garden, haven't we? The most important garden in all history, the Garden of Gethsemane. Yeah? Do you know what it means in Hebrew? Oil press. That's all? Yeah. Because probably there were olive trees there, and there was a little press, and, you know, that's how it got its name. And I want you to come with me to the garden, and we're going to have a look, and then we're going to have a see, and then we'll go and tell. Okay? So there you are. Do you know this is the most important day in the Christian faith when we think of the resurrection? Because if there was no resurrection, we would not be here this morning. Life would be entirely different for us. And there isn't another religion in all the world that has a story like this. It's unique to the Christian faith. Now, I remember about 10 years ago when I was looking up, I don't know, do you keep your old sermons? Yeah, because I've heard them about 6 times. Now, I've ever my own back on Alan this morning, as you can see. Right. Now, and I remember preparing this sermon. I think I might have preached it here. I don't know. If there was no resurrection, what difference would it make? Well, I preached on 4 points, and I'm not going to preach on them this morning. There would be no Christian message for a start. There'd be no Christian message. There would be no, number two, there would be no Christian faith. There would be no Christian hope. That's number three. And there would be no future for the Christian if there was no resurrection. You see, the resurrection is so important to us today. And it's so important to the Christian faith. Now, this morning, I want us to visit the garden, and we'll go with Mary Magdalene, shall we? There we are. She was the first to experience Jesus, because he was crucified, he was laid in a tomb, and now he's alive. Now, where did Mary come from? Well, she came from a little town which is called Magdala, which is on the shores of Galilee. And it's believed that Mary was the person who hadn't a very good past, you know? Her history wasn't that good. And if you remember from the New Testament stories, if you read it, she was the person who had 7 demons cast out of her. Yet she was the one who had the privilege of first meeting the resurrection Jesus. She came early in the morning while it was still dark, you know. And you want to get behind that story, you know. It wasn't on a Sunday morning she came. It was an ordinary day, because remember, the Sabbath is the day before. And she came on the next day, the first day of the week. And she came with some other ladies. And it was still dark. And, you know, they came with that desire or tradition or whatever you like to call it to anoint the body of Jesus. Now, you see, to the Jews, all this is very, very important, you know? The dead bodies, anointing, looking after them. I don't know if it's the same when you were nursing and when I was nursing. They said to us in our training, if you have a Jew on the ward and that person dies, you are not allowed to touch that body. You have to wait for the hospital to get a rabbi to come and do the offices and do everything. You know? Because to the Jews, it's something special. And Mary and the woman went that morning, you know, the tradition to go and to anoint the body of Jesus. You know, it's a strange thing, isn't it, really, to visit a graveyard in the dark? Yeah? Probably it was still dark. No street lights, no torches as we know. And perhaps they were fearful of the guards, the Roman guards, we don't know. But it was just before dawn when everybody is at their lowest point. Yeah? You know, how many of us know that feeling? How many of us know that? You can't sleep, perhaps these ladies, these women, after all that had happened, you know, they were desperately, desperately upset because Jesus had been crucified, you know, the one who they loved with all their hearts, you know, and they felt the loss of Jesus, and perhaps they couldn't sleep, and perhaps one said to the other, look, I haven't had a wink of sleep tonight. Let's go down, let's anoint the body, and let's get it over with early in the morning. And, you know, they got up, and they went. And probably, you know, Mary Magdalene and the other ladies, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, they were feeling at their very, very lowest. You know, I think there's something here for us to learn, and it can be a great blessing to us. You know, when we are at our very lowest, that's when we can have an experience, a fresh experience with the risen Jesus. You know, have you ever known that? I know when I used to do night shifts, and I used to hate night shifts, and it got to 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, I was desperate. And I know that people feel the lowest. You know, if you've got something on your mind, if you're worried about anything, if you're upset about anything, if you've lost a loved one and you wake up and 4 o'clock in the morning, it feels like everything is pressing down on you. When you're feeling like that, that's the time when Jesus can come and you can have an experience of the risen Savior in your life. Well, let's go back. That's my a little point for you, okay? Come and see. He's alive. Ha ha. You know, you can have an experience with him when you're at your lowest. Go and tell people when they're at their lowest to look to Jesus. Back to the garden, okay? There was utter confusion. You know, Mary came to the tomb. The stone was rolled away. And she looked. What did she do? She turned around and she ran back to John and Peter and said, John and Peter, come. You know, there's something different. The stone was rolled away. You know, because when they were walking, the ladies were walking to the tomb, the biggest worry they had was who was going to roll the stone back for them? Who was going to do it? But when they got there, it was done. It was done. And to their amazement, you know, it was all completed. Now, why was the stone rolled away from the grave? To let Jesus out? No. To let the world in so they could see that the tomb was empty. You know, if people said they saw Jesus and the tomb was still sealed, people would have said, don't believe it. Don't believe it. He's in there. He's in there. But the tomb, the stone was rolled back. People could look in. And the tomb was empty. You know, there must have been confusion in the minds of these ladies as they came. As John and Peter came, they came running, and they were a little bit braver than the ladies, and they went in the tomb and looked, and they saw someone sitting there, you know. And they saw the napkin and the bandages all wrapped up on the side. Well, you know, let me just say something about the linen bands. You know, when a person dies, and it was the tradition of the Jews to wrap the bodies in bands of cloth. Okay. Now, when Jesus was born, what did they do? They wrapped him in swaddling clothes, didn't they? So at the beginning of Jesus' ministry on earth, he was wrapped. At the end of his earthly ministry, before he rose again from the dead, he was wrapped. Do you remember the story of Lazarus? When Jesus said to him, come out of the tomb, Lazarus, come out. And what did Jesus say to the people? Loose him, let him go, take off those bandages. So who unwrapped Jesus? Should I tell you? When they looked in and they saw the bandages laying there and they saw the napkin folded away from it, you know, all that happened was Jesus rose from the dead, threw the bandages, and they collapsed. And the napkin, which was put over his face, was all folded beside there. Now, this is incredible. And Mary saw this. And the disciples saw it. They'd never known anything like this before. It was just as though he passed through the bandages and he was alive. He was alive. Well, Peter and his friends, they simply couldn't comprehend what had happened, and they left and went back. But Mary stayed there, weeping outside the tomb, not understanding what had happened. Plucking up courage, she looked in and she saw these two white robed angels sitting there, and they asked her why she was crying, and they said, well, they've taken the body of my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put it. You know, she was crying, the bright lights, the tears, she wasn't thinking straight. She wasn't seeing straight, and then she turned and she felt this presence of somebody there, and it was the gardener, she thought, and she said to him, can I paraphrase it a little bit? Can you tell me where they've laid the body of Jesus? He said, why are you weeping? And he said, well, they've taken the body of Jesus, and I want to go and fetch it, and I want to bring it back where it belongs, where? In the tomb. Yeah? She had no understanding that Jesus had been raised from the dead. Bring him back. Put him in the tomb where he belongs. You know, how many of us are like that, aren't we? Where does God belong? Sunday in church. Let's put God in the church. We don't want him out in everyday life. We know where we want him. You know, we don't want to get religion caught up with everyday activities. We want Jesus and we want God in our church. And this is like Mary, you know. She didn't think about he'd been raised from the dead. All she was concerned with was bringing the body, getting the body back, putting it in the tomb, and she would have been happy. And she would have been quite content. And some of us are like that. Some of us feel like that, you know. If we keep Jesus where we want him in our lives, we are content. We are happy. We understand. Well, we have that lovely reaction, don't we? An interaction between Mary and Jesus. You know, in the Greek, do you want a little bit of Greek this morning? It's Maria. It's not Mary. It's Maria. That's right, isn't it, Alan? Are you done Greek? Now, come on, Alan. Yeah. It's Maria. Yeah. And can you imagine it? Jesus just saying to her, Maria. And Jesus recognized, you know, and she turned and she said, Rabboni, which is the greatest honor you can give a person. Teacher. Teacher, the greatest teacher. She realized that Jesus was alive, you know, and joy and came flooding back into her life, you know. She was confused. Here's another point for you, look. She was confused, and in her confusion, she met the risen Savior. Now, as you go through life, are you confused? Are you confused.com? Because I get confused at times. I'll be honest with you. You know, why isn't my prayer being answered? Have you ever had that experience? You know, you've prayed, and you've prayed for something, and your prayer hasn't been... Are you confused? Because, you know, it says in the Word, ask and the Father will give it to you. Yeah? Are you confused? Why is this happening in my life? I'm confused about it. Why is it I can't see Jesus in this situation? Why am I suffering this pain? It might be physical. It may be psychological. It may even be spiritual. You know, have you ever been in pain? And you've laid in bed and you've said, oh, Lord, please remove this pain. You know, and the pain's still there. Many times I've been there, been in a position where I've been praying about something and nothing's happening. I think, if only Jesus was here standing, I could say to him, well, look, you know, do you ever get like that? Be honest, do you? Can I do? You know, I'm confused at times. Mary was confused, but in her confusion, she met Jesus, which is lovely. And that's the experience that we need to have. In our confusion in life, we need to trust Jesus. Look to him. Have that meeting with him. Having that special relationship when he speaks to us and we realize it's him. Well, I'm coming to an end now, you'll be pleased to know. She could face life again, couldn't she? Because she met Jesus. And she put her arms around him. And he said, Mary, don't hold on to me. You know, I think in some versions it says, if you go to the old ones, don't touch me because I haven't ascended to my Father in heaven. And a lot of people think, you know, Jesus stood there as a ghostly body and, you know, don't touch him. No, Jesus was in person there. She put her arms around him and said, I'm paraphrasing, but can you imagine, you're back. And I'm not going to let you go again. I'm going to hold on to you this time, Jesus. And he said, Mary, I've got to ascend to the Father. I've got work to do. You go and tell the disciples that you have seen me. And you know, she went. And that old song is so lovely. It's so true. She went away and she went and told the disciples, but she had... If I was there, I would have been singing, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Yeah? And this was Mary as she went back to the disciples. And there they were that evening. They got together and they were in the upper room, and the rumors were going around that, you know, Jesus was alive and incredible things had happened. And as evening fell, they were sitting there. And then two people turned up from the road who were going to Emmaus. And they turned around, you remember? And they came back and they said, "Do you know we've met Jesus?" And they said, "Well, we have too. He's alive." And they were talking about it. Then all of a sudden, they felt a presence. And Jesus was in the room with them. And he said, "Peace be unto you. Calm down. It's okay. I'm here. The Father sent me to do this work. He sent me to come and do this. Now I'm going to send you. And I'm going to send you out to do my work." And then he did something beautiful. Lovely. He breathed on them. You know? Have you ever had anybody breathe on you? And you say, "Get back. You're breathing all over me." You know? Have you ever had that experience? You know, we used to say in hospital, I shouldn't be saying this really, but halitosis is better than no breath at all. You can work that out, okay? But you know, he breathed on them. He was so close to them, they could feel his breath. And he says, "You know, receive the Holy Spirit." And you know, I think in that lovely old song, "Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew." Yeah? "That I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do." Yeah? Come on. Spoil me this morning. Sing with me. "Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. That I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do." Wouldn't you love that experience? Of just feeling the breath of the Lord breathing all over you. Yeah. And this is the experience I want. This is what I need in my life. This is what the disciples experienced. And he said, "Now, go and tell. You've come, you've seen everything, you've seen me, go and tell. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And that's, you know, our Easter message, really. Each one of us here can have a resurrection experience with Jesus. Jesus has paid the price for our sins. He died on the cross. He was laid in the tomb. He arose from the dead. Most of all, he's coming again. And the sky, not the grave, is our goal. I'm going upwards. My goal is upwards. Come and see. Go and tell. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you this morning to go out and tell that wonderful message that Jesus is alive. Okay? Not too long? No? All right then. Okay. Let's finish with, "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say, I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always there."